This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, so as we're talking about the Diamondbacks, I think it was the Diamondbacks that knocked the Brewers off, and it seemed like the Brewers just, it was inevitable for them to fail. And Brewers fans looked at Devin Williams as the artist that, you know, drew that picture back-to-back years, and so he needed a change of scenery. That's the phrase I keep using. He was broken before.
It's the pressure, man. He obviously, you come to the Bronx, first games of the season, new team, all the hype, you know, of getting the guy.
Yeah, I don't think he has the temperament for it, and that's not a knock on the guy. Go sign with the Kansas City Royals next year or something like that.
Yeah, but here's my problem with Boone. Boone is going to try to force it, and so was Cashman, to make it look like they made a great move. So Boone always learns after the disaster, not before. You know, it's like,
yeah, but they can't. That's why I keep talking about the fans. I'm in there. The fans start moaning and groaning as soon as he's warming up. And like, he can't afford to walk a batter. If he walks two batters, it's like, you got to take him out. So it's like, it's damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like,
I hear you.
Like, I'm already calling a spade a spade. Like, it's okay to be like, this dude, we went to get him. We thought he'd be great here. We thought we could work with him, fix him. It ain't working out. We got bigger fish to fry than Devin Williams figuring it out.
Yeah, I hear you. Listen, I sit out. I don't get to go that often anymore because I'm sick, but I go out to 203 whenever I can go to the game. I haven't run into you yet, but I'm looking for you. But, I mean, you should hear your crew out there, man. Oh, my God. They're just killing them, you know. So
They're loud. The roll call has been loud. Jay, feel better, and thank you for the call and all the different little things. Like, Alan Winans, I expect to see him. They DFA'd Carlos Cookie Carrasco yesterday, and I'm like, okay, is it going to be Yarbrough getting some starts, or are they going to punch the Alan Wine? Shake it up. Do it, right? Still does not fix the Will Warren issue and the Devin Williams issue. To me, this guy was not a part of it. That's why I leaned into this team went to the World Series last year. Luke Weaver became the guy last year. He's still on the team. He can still get it done. You have a closer. Enough. We had to live through Aroldis Chapman. We had to live through Clay Holmes' 13 blown saves until you finally, they did that stupid stuff with Clay Holmes last year. Oh, yeah, we believe in him. Oh, yeah, he's got good stuff. Oh, we just got to get him right. Yeah, we got to find spots for him until they absolutely couldn't do it anymore. Why? Because of the fans. I was on the fan calling him Pray Holmes. All we can do is pray. When he comes into the game, say a prayer. Cardiac Clay. So here we are with Devin Williams. Please stop it already. We don't need to add. He's been a net negative. We added a negative player. Like, and that is okay. Admit it. And stop hearkening back to what he was and the past numbers. That was in Wisconsin. This is New York. All of these players know this and they agree. Rodon talked about it the other night because he's gone through it and he's been a lot better in his last four starts. When you don't pitch well, they're going to boo you. But when you do pitch well, they're going to love you. This guy has so much negative equity built up from the beard policy to the paternity leave, right? There were fans that blamed the series loss on him for going to to be a father and have a child. And I laugh because it's ridiculous, but fans are going to fan. And then the we want Weaver and all this other stuff. It's like, please, we don't need it. Judge is having an MVP once-in-a-lifetime start to this season. Young guys have emerged that are doing it. Trent Grisham is having the best year of his career. Bellinger will come around. Look what Paul Goldschmidt has turned the clock back to. We do not need this. Greg is in Manhattan on the fan. What's up, Greg?
Hey, what's up, Keith? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay, man. I listen to you every night, and I really enjoy your show. And as the last caller said, you're doing a great job, man.
Thank you.
I'm gonna be very, very straight up, just like you've been. Devin Williams cannot pitch for the New York Yankees again.
You can't. And I'm fine with that. That doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't have his jersey. I have no attachment to him. Was I rooting for him in the beginning to give him a shot? Yes, but they've given him 10 shots. I'm good. I don't need to see any more. I'm good. We have enough guys in his bullpen. Guys are coming back. Are you really going to let this continue? Is this going to be something that, like, they can't afford to blow another game with trying to get him right? I joked today after the seventh inning. I said, well, hell, throw him out there now. He can't blow this lead. He can't blow the 9-run lead. You want to put him in a spot now? Put him there now. He is not a high leverage guy with the Yankees. I don't care what he was. It's too far gone already. It's such an uphill climb for the guy, and there's always an excuse. It can't be.
I honestly would love to see him traded to San Diego because I think he'd do fantastic, and I think you bring Michael King back.
Yeah, they won't do that.
Sounds crazy.
His value is lower. His value is lower than it's ever been. Clearly, Milwaukee was done with him. Milwaukee knew, hey, this guy in the big spot. And that's what I'm saying, Greg. This is New York. Yeah. In October, I've seen greater players fold. I've seen Aaron Judge fold under the pressure. You think this guy is going to be able to get us big outs in October? He can't do it in April and May. I'm not even risking that. I'm not playing that game because that's what I'm saying. By the time we get there, baseball is going to baseball. So even if he's going strong, maybe it takes him another month and he has a good June, July, August. Baseball is going to baseball where if he gets got in October, the fans are going to say, see, you didn't learn. You forced this. We knew this guy couldn't pitch here. And it might not be that, like, you know, he doesn't have the guts to do it. It might just be a guy like Pete Alonso puts a good swing on a pitch and it goes out of the ballpark. Let's not.
Yeah. Have a good one, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the call, Greg. And we can opt out of it because we have Luke Weaver. No? Harvey's in Dix Hills coming up on the fan. Harvey, you're up late tonight.
Yes, I know. I was coming back from my office in the hospital, and that's when I listened to you. That's why I know you got a great show.
Thanks, man.
And two things I want to thank you for. And you're the person I want to sound this off to, because I heard you say something in my car, and as I say, you talked about Devin Williams, okay? And this is like the fifth time I've talked. Sometimes you can talk about something and bring it over and over again, like an obsession and nobody comments. Well, over the last month and a half, I talked about Devin Williams, even though I'm not a Yankee fan, because when the Mets are looking for a relief pitcher, and people were talking about Devin Williams, you know, I read that he had a stress fracture. You're a college quarterback, okay? You could probably be the one to talk to about this. I actually spoke to an orthopedist off the record. I'm a doctor in another specialty, but no, I'm not an orthopedist. The question I had from that author, how do you pitch with a stress fracture? And I don't know the details of it, but I'm just bringing up to suggest. And the answer, most people say he's cleared. He didn't adjust to New York. Do you have an opinion, having taken so many whacks as a college quarterback? Is it possible that this is a physical thing, not a mental thing?
I feel like we're completely ignoring the physical aspect. That's why I hit,
exactly
the,
right.
That's why I hit that yogiism.
This is the fifth time I brought it up, and not a soul until I heard you say it, mention that after my calls. Yeah.
Not going to lie, I talked to a little birdie who's I've been out there to Milwaukee, and I have a friend that's a Brewers fan, and these Brewers fans are kind of looking at us like, yeah, okay, keep doing that. Keep trying to figure that one out. Now,
oh, they knew it in Milwaukee?
Okay, yeah. So in my notes, I have Devin Williams suffered two stress fractures in his back during spring training
last year. Thank you so much, Keith.
He was diagnosed by a spine specialist. The injury was expected to sideline him approximately 3 months starting around March 2024, initially projected to return in late May. Williams returned to the Brewers later than that in July and was activated from the 60-day IL. Now,
what if he's
just not the same guy that he once was?
Absolutely not. You know, I look at a pitcher, Keith. He's 1.5 average for 5 years, and now he's 11. There's got to be something physical in a pitcher like that.
So he's also trying to make the most money he's ever made in his life, in his career, in his baseball life. He's going to be a free agent. Like, so even if he's got something that's a little off, it's not something that he's going to report. But that's why I even mentioned, you know, I had a caller say they got to DFA him, they got to send him down to the minors. I'm like, they're not going to do that.
I think they need another MRI and then a medical evaluation.
Put him on the IL. Let's take another look at the guy.
Exactly right.
And then maybe even give him some time off to rest and then come back, strengthen it, and see. Because everything I'm reading, the diagnosis, it was the stress fracture was the left and right sides of his T12 vertebrae. And I'm always Googling and looking up stuff. The initial timeline was...
And by the way, that's the middle of the back, and that's what you pitch with.
So there's a reason why he's not able to locate. There's a reason why his velocity,
exactly right,
his velocity is down.
Thank you.
So, the game, right? Yogi Berra says baseball is 90% mental, the other half is physical. So if his brain is already telling him, wow, this is crazy in New York, the fans are booing me, I got a newborn kid, I might not be here next year, I don't know where I'm going to play, I was a closer, I want to be a closer, they demoted me this fast, my own fan base is against me, I'm making it harder for Boone, oh, the mound isn't to the likings of my condition. Like, oh, I did have a couple good outings. I feel like I'm right. But, like, it's too much. There's so many compounded issues that I'm like, how is this guy going to overcome all of this to be the Yankees closer? I don't need him to be. How is he going to overcome all of this this year to get to a form where they can use him in a high leverage situation?
Right. The Austin Peterson, I don't know how he's pitching. If there is a recurrence or an aggravation of that stress factor, he said, how is he pitching?
So what I got from the research was they were expecting him back in May, but it took longer. He didn't come back until July. It hasn't even been a year.
That's correct. Absolutely. Bless you, my son.
Thanks for the call, Harvey. 888-808-1019. I'm just trying to figure it out, folks. I'm a Yankee fan like you, and they don't tell us everything. And I'm looking at the guy, and I'm like, I've seen the guy pitch. He used to be lights out. He used to have some fire. And I was so excited when we got him because I'm like, oh, this bullpen's going to be the best in baseball. But now I'm backing off that. Now, and I got on here and told y'all, don't boo him, man. Give him an opportunity. We gave him an opportunity. We've given him too many opportunities. We've given him soft landing spots. We've made too much excuses for a guy that just got here. And I don't care at all about facial hair and beards or whatnot, but it's compounded. This is the guy forever that is going to be linked to. Okay, he got here, and he held out. He didn't shave his beard until he put on team-issued gear, until he put that hat on and the workout shirt he shaved. And the baseball world saw the image of Devin Williams without a beard, and they said, oh, they neutered him. He lost his aura. The Yankees zapped him. No, the Yankees did that so that he would be comfortable and throw his fastball and throw his airbender, and we could have the best closer in the game. It hasn't helped. So what is it? Maybe it isn't the right fit, and that needs to be decided sooner rather than later. But what did I always used to say to y'all? The Yankees die hard on their trades and their contracts. That is ego and pride, because your ego and pride will tell you, we gave up something for this guy, we're going to make it work. We gave up something for this guy. We're right about him. We can fix him. Okay, so you know who has to suffer through all that? His teammates, the record, and the fans who are not going for it. When we come back, we'll do Tell Me Something Cool, and then I'll lean into that a little bit more. But ultimately, it's happy times. We're in first place. The Yankees won. They put up 12 runs. What an inning. 10 runs in the seventh inning, and then Max Fried on the mound. But there's this one issue that has to be solved. And if I know them like I have known them through my entire life, they're in May, they're going to keep going with this. But there's something I'll tell you when we come back to tie it all together where I'm just going to be like, nah, bro. Nah, cut your losses. Cut it now. We've seen enough. Sometimes you just got to know. And I mean, guys are calling him Sonny Gray 2.0. It's not even that. It's just like, we don't need this. This has been a net negative. Why? Why? All right, 888-808-1019. Tell me something cool when we come back. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50, code LISTEN50.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
And I'm not prepared to say that about Devin Williams, but we're kind of running out of time here in terms of excuses. He has been absolutely atrocious, and everybody knows it. He sounds defeated. I heard him this morning coming in. Jerry was playing in the update. Just doesn't sound right. Like, he sounds lost. He sounds confused. He sounds as if he lacks confidence. Understandably so. That is not a fun position to be in. I mean, listen, this is a massive problem for the Yankees. The Yankees are not good enough to flush down leads when they get them late. They just can't keep doing this. And that is now 5 on the young season. 5 in the first 5 weeks of the season. I mean, you do the math. That's going to add up to a lot. And this keeps up, it might prevent them from winning the division. So what do you do? I mean, anybody could get on the air and say, well, Devin Williams doesn't look right. No, he looks less than right. He looks absolutely broken, or at least he's moving in that direction. I would say what I would do if I'm Aaron Boone, I would do absolutely nothing. I would do nothing. I think the worst thing that they could do, I think the more damaging thing that they could do is to put him into, like, you know, long relief and just banish him from high leverage spots at this point. I think that would, whatever remains of his psyche and his confidence, I think that would just destroy it. I think at that point, he might be too far gone to really even help this team. I mean, then he might be officially broken. Now, I could give you a little bit of a tiny baseball reason why this might be happening. I mean, guys, the ERA is 10. The WHIP is almost 2. you know, it's not like April 9th or April 20th. It's, you know, before you know it's the middle of May. His ERA is 10, dude. 10. 10. The one thing I was studying is this Fangraphs stuff. I just want to see if I'm missing anything. Because I listened to the stuff, and most of the people with the Yankees, he has said it. I think Booney said it most of the time. Like, you know, he looks pretty good. He's got his own, he's got his stuff. He's just not, you know, he's not hitting. Okay. I want to see for myself. Well, he is throwing the fastball less, and he's throwing the changeup more than he did the previous year. Now, why? Is that because his fastball is down? Which it is. His fastball is down to 93.6 miles per hour on the average. Now, that's not a massive deal because his go-to pitch is changeup, but you talk about variance. I mean, that's the separation between, you know, whatever your whether it's a four-seam or a hard sinker or whatever secondary pitch you throw, you know, you've got to have that. It can't be, I mean, it's got to be wide separation between those two to keep hitters off balance and guessing. 93.6 mile per hour is getting nobody out with any sort of consistency. He just doesn't throw hard enough. And if he's not trusting his fastball, and I understand why he might not at 93.6 miles per hour, and he's throwing the changeup much more, which he is, well, now it's more visible. So you're seeing with more frequency, so you could kind of gauge it more. They're barreling him up. They're hitting the ball pretty hard. I looked at those numbers as well. So there's no excuses. He's been awful. But there's really, once you decided to take him out of the closer's role, and I didn't think they were even going to do that so quickly. I give him credit. But now, I don't think the next move is to take Devin Williams and say, all right, hey, we're up 7-2, we're up 9-1, we're down 13-2, 13-3. You know, let's work on some stuff in the game situation that we can't get on a side bullpen session. But I don't think that's it. I think, because I just don't think it's going to be transferable. Now, I think he's got to learn how to deal with this pressure cooker. That's it. And he's going to have to figure it out in the Bronx. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit easier to figure things out on the road. But the Yankees are not good enough to win if Devin Williams doesn't figure this out. I like Luke Weaver. There's no question. We all do. We saw what he did a year ago when he took over the closer's role. I've got, last night aside, you know, I've got great faith in him. I think he's got, you know, great moxie. He's tough. I think he's got good stuff, good presence, great demeanor. Big fan. Big fan. You know, next year when Devin Williams is gone, because there's no way in hell they're going to give him an extension, then he's the closer. I got no problem with that. But you can't lose Devin Williams along the way. And I think that the way that you might accelerate losing him is to banish him. The more time that he's out there in the bullpen thinking and letting this horrendous start fester, I think the more detrimental it is to his New York Yankee tenure, his New York experience. I keep running him out. 888-80 as a setup man. 888-808-1019 BT and Sound on the Fan. So we got some Devin Williams stuff. Obviously a big Nick Day. Damian St. James. Damian, how you doing today?
Hey, what's up, BT? Hey. How you doing?
I'm good. How you doing?
Before I get to the Devin Williams point, I'm a Bensonhurst boy. I was just curious. When you played ball near that field by the Belt Parkway, did you guys used to go and eat at Zeke's Roast Beef after?
No, we didn't go to Zeke's. I would go to Roland Roaster for roast beef or bread in a car. So wait, now, so hold on. So you're talking about Gil Hodges or the one on the other side of the Belt Parkway?
The other side of the Belt Parkway. It was right across from it, Zeke's.
Yeah. I played there a bunch. Now it's just grass, I believe, right by the apartments off the Belt.
Yeah.
That was a good field. I like it. Yeah, I like that. That was good.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
So, yeah, what I was going to get at, the correlation I haven't heard on the station yet, that I think that that Devin Williams got a case of the yips ever since Alonso took him hard in the playoffs.
He might. I mean, I don't know that that's never been said on the station. That's been brought up mainly like in jest, like we've all kind of said, like it's a throwaway line, like, yeah, you know, the night Pete took a soul. Well, maybe he actually did.
Yeah.
It's real. I don't know. I mean, he started slowly before. Damian, thanks for the call. You know, because it takes him a while. He's had some rough Aprils. Like, that is not new. But you could do it in the relative anonymity of Milwaukee. You can't do it here. And the fact that his fastball is in the mid-93 mile per hour range, that's, I get it. He's never going to be, you know, a young Aroldis Chapman. I get that. But 93.6, you're not fooling anybody in 2025. Let me get Chris in Stony Point. What's happening, Chris?
Hey, BT, a big fan.
Thanks, Chris. What's up, man?
I think a lot of things, part of it with is it's not just Devin Williams. It's Boone throwing him out in high leverage situations, throwing Mark Leiter out there in high leverage situations. They're just the only one you can really count on is Weaver and Fernando Cruz.
Yeah, Cruz has been great. Yeah, Cruz been. He usually had some control issues over the years. Cruz has been terrific.
I mean, as much as you want to harp on Cashman and he really does find diamond in the rough when it comes to the bullpen. And whatnot.
Yeah, can he find a couple of middle infielders? How about that? Can we find that Cash? I mean, we know we can find. We know we can find pitchers, but some of these guys they're rolling out there. I mean, it's okay. It's May. I'm not going to go nuts here, but the Yankees lineup is just. I don't know, Chris.
It's getting pieced together, and I mean, Boone's trying to do as much as he can with it, but even he's overthinking it sometimes.
Well, over the weekend, you're talking about what? Not pinch hitting Austin Wells. I'm sure he'd like to have that one back. But, you know, Chris, I mean, there's only so many options for Aaron Boone. I mean, you can only do what you have on the roster or work with what you have on the roster. Hey, I got to pull you in for a sec. So, you were out the last couple of days. I know that you saw that the Yankees promoted Lombard from high A to double A. He was sitting 329, 12 steals, whatever, early, you know, 990 OPS. He's going to double A now. If he tears it apart, you got to give this kid a look this year. I don't care how young he is.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about the prospects. I mean, if they're hitting and guys up in the majors aren't, You have to give somebody else a chance. You have to give somebody else a shot. And Lombard showed in spring training he's got some ability. So, I don't see why not. I mean, personally speaking, I'm sick and tired of seeing certain guys be run out there just because their names. So you have to do something different.
Well, I asked somebody in the Yankees organization about 2 weeks or so ago. I asked him directly. I said, are you guys averse to pulling up Lombard this year if he shows? And I was told no. I wasn't told yes, they're going to, but I was told no, we are not organizationally against it, meaning we're open-minded. We'll see. 888-808-1019. BT and Sal, back to the King topic of the day next here on The Fan.
You look at this team and you look at the game last night. The issue with this team for me is specifically three players. Like right now, they are now 2.5 games up in first, and that's not all great shakes. The American League East has been down. Boston's in second place, a game under 500. It has been a weak start to the season for the American League East. The Baltimore team stinks. Tampa Bay isn't very good. Toronto is a bunch of frauds. And the Red Sox haven't been as good as people thought they would be, and they've been a game under 500. So I'm not telling you it's any great reward to be in first place in that division, but they are two and a half games up in first place. And to me, it's the bottom of the rotation, and they still don't have answers for that. We'll see who starts. It's probably going to be Ryan Yarbrough is now going to be the fifth starter or they'll do bullpens and he'll bulk the games or whatever. I think that's the plan, I'm assuming. And Will Warren, who has not been very good. But as we saw in this game yesterday, the offense is not the issue. It's not perfect. It doesn't come through every time. We've seen runners left at third. Situational hitting has been an issue. Batting average, a lot of strikeouts still. It's not perfect, but you look at every single number in this offense, and obviously it explodes last night against a San Diego bullpen that hadn't lost a game in that situation all year. What was it, 23-0 in games leading in the seventh inning or later? And the Yankees battled back twice in this game. They fell behind 2-0 after Clark Schmidt, who I thought was okay, a little wild, was tough to watch. He was nibbling at times, but he gets out of a really jammed situation. If it wasn't for a balk that let in a run, he would have only given up one run in six innings. So six innings, two runs against the San Diego Padres. That's a good start for Clark Schmidt. Hopefully he's on the way to like really joining this rotation on a regular basis. That'd be nice. And seeing him pitch like that was a good start. Obviously, the bullpen gives up a run in the seventh, and immediately the Yankees pounce, have a really good inning, and score 10 runs. And what's exciting about it to me is the youth. And like, I want to talk about this specifically because you watch a lot of the young players on this team. We see Dominguez, and there's been a lot of talk about Jason Dominguez and how much playing time he's gotten. And I understand why the Yankees are doing what they're doing. He is a young kid. He missed all of the 2020 season with COVID during his minor league stint. So he lost a full year of development, right? He hasn't had a ton of at-bats, certainly right-handed. He hasn't had any, and he's been hitting under 100 right-handed, and he's not very good defensively. And you traded for Bellinger, and while he's struggling, you need to get him going. And Grisham has been unbelievable and is a great defensive center fielder, although I thought he was much more to blame than even Volpe was for a drop pop-up in the game last night. But he's great defensively, and he's hitting 9 home runs and has an OPS over 1,000. How do you take Grisham out of the lineup, and you're trying to get Bellinger going? He's a veteran player you're paying $27 million to. Like, and you got Judge in right field. Like, there's just a natural thing of Dominguez is going to not get as many starts as we want, but that doesn't change the fact that he's been really good left-handed, and last night showed you elements of his game. He starts that inning with a double right-handed, his speed. And that's part of the reason I have a problem. Like, if I have a major problem with Aaron Boone right now, it's that he's not pushing the athleticism of this team. We saw Jason Dominguez walk earlier in the game and then just stand there. We've to lead off an inning and then not go anywhere, not run with the bottom of the lineup up. We saw a bunt for all you small ball players, and Oswaldo Cabrera looked like he's never bunted in his life. And he popped one up. But when Volpe gets on first to lead off an inning with the bottom of the order coming up, let's run. Let's use this kid, these kids' speed. Like, we went into this with the excitement of the athleticism of this offense, and despite the fact that they lead the American League in damn near every offensive category, from runs, home runs, on OPS, batting average. Like, they lead the American League in like almost all of those stats, and they currently have 7 out of 9 hitters who are a league average or better in OPS. So we can complain about the offense. We can scream about the offense. We can scream that Volpe sucks. We can scream that this one sucks and that one sucks. The fact of the matter is the offense has been pretty damn good, and it's been Cookie Carrasco, Will Warren, and Devin Williams who have cost the Yankees being up 6 games in this lousy division. They have lost 5 games in the 8th inning or later, and Will Warren and Cookie Carrasco have not been good. That's where they're losing these games. Sure, are there games where the game is close and you'd like to see them rally in the ninth and they haven't, or like didn't score enough runs to win that game, or had a bad series in Baltimore? Okay, yeah. But ultimately, the offense has done enough, and they broke out for a huge win in this game, and they have the second best run differential in Major League Baseball, despite having not great pitching. And then the other, but I want to see more athleticism. Last night was great because you saw it from the youth of the team. Judge didn't contribute to last night's 10-run inning. You saw Ben Rice with the biggest hit of the inning, a double down the line. You saw it get started by Jason Dominguez. You saw a line drive from Volpe, who's been better over the last week and a half, much better over the last week and a half. And I know he's up and down. You got to see it stay up longer, but he's been much better. Bellinger isn't the young homegrown, but I was talking about being better. Bellinger's been better over the last 2 weeks. But we see big hits. Wells gets 2 hits in the inning, an RBI single and the grand slam to top it off. You got arguably Ben Rice with the double down the line is the biggest hit of the inning. Volpe comes through with a hit. Like, the youth of this team, Dominguez, the youth of this team is that people talk about how the team is old and they'll point to Goldschmidt. Like, all right, yes, Goldschmidt's old. He's also hitting 370, by the way. But other than that, this team is young and athletic. We saw in this game Bellinger go first to third, put pressure on the defense. The throw gets away, and it leads to a run. There needs to be more of it because they have that tool set. This team is young. This team is athletic. This team has the ability to cause havoc on the base path, and it hasn't been there. That's what's frustrating about the offense to me, because when Volpe leads off an inning with a walk or a single, he should attempt to steal. When Dominguez starts an inning with a leadoff walk and 7-8-9 or 8-9 are coming up, he should steal. And then a ground ball moves him to third. Let's manufacture runs at the bottom of the lineup, especially when it's guys like Reyes and Cabrera and Vivas. Like, with the injury to Jazz, that's what we're looking at. Like, try and make it easy for them. Put a ball in play and get an RBI. Score a run. Let's get the bases going. That's what I'm looking for. But last night was a great victory. They needed it. It was an important win. Bouncing back off of the disaster, which, again, in my opinion, was the worst loss of the year. And that leads to the conversation about Williams. And I've heard a bunch of people talk about this. I heard Keith as I'm driving in. I respect everybody. I can't understand the thought process of wanting to trade or give up on Devin Williams. I think you're insane. I'm sorry. He has been awful. Awful. He has given up more runs this year already. It is now May 7th. He has given up more runs already this year than the last 2 years combined. This is not, and I know I'm going to keep saying it, you could say whatever you want. He can't hang in New York, blah, blah. You do not give up on what has been arguably the best reliever in baseball over the last 3 seasons. You do not give up on him on May 7th. They need to continue to do what they're doing with him. I had absolutely zero problem with Aaron Boone going to him in the eighth inning with a 3-run lead with 7, 8, 9 up. That's where you go to him. It's not just about going to him with up 10. You go to him last night. That's not going to work him back. He's got to have something on the line. They pitched him 3 times prior. I think 2 out of those 3 were a 1-run game or a 1-run game down a run in late innings. Like, he needs to have, you've got to work him back that way. And I'm sorry, a 3-run lead with 7, 8, 9 coming up, and they took him out for the closer before he actually blew the game. I know we're gonna, you can't get on Weaver. He's been great. Weaver blew the game. Weaver doesn't have to give up a double and a single to blow the game. Weaver was awful. You put him in there with a 3-run lead. You took him out before he blew it with 2 outs, and Weaver couldn't get the last out. But you can't just give up on him. This team was built heading into this by its bullpen. It was the starting rotation before the injuries to Cole and Luis Gil. It was the pitching, and it's still the bullpen. And they've got Jonathan Loaisiga coming back. They've got Cousins coming back, who's throwing to Giancarlo Stanton. Efros just had started his minor league assignment. Cruz has been striking out more people than anybody else out of the bullpen in Major League Baseball. And Weaver just gave up his first runs of the season. This can be, if you add what has been the best reliever in baseball, you are talking about nothing but good arms and good pitchers coming out of the bullpen. That can be a dominant bullpen. I know he's blown some games. The Yankees are good enough in this league to get to the postseason, good enough in this division to win the division. And I want to manage for every minute. I want to manage for every game. I want to win every single game they can play. But the fact of the matter is if you want to win a World Series, and that's what we talk about. We talk about winning a World Series as if it's the only damn thing that matters. And when we get to the playoffs, nobody gives a damn about what happened on May 5th or May 6th. Nobody gives a damn because we have had multiple years of May 5th being riding high. Best team in baseball. 7, 10, 8 game winning streaks. Dominant. Pulling away in the division. Best starting last year. The starting pitching was incredible. They were the best team in baseball in May. As they were losing the World Series, nobody told me, hey, those games in May were awesome, though. But yet when you lose them, suddenly it's the biggest thing in the world. Getting Devin Williams right is about winning. It might not have been about winning that game. It's about winning. It's not about just getting Devin Williams right. It's not just about kowtowing to Brian Cashman's desire to prove his trades correct. It's about getting one of the best relievers in baseball right. Because if you get him right, you are going to win more games. And you are going to be more dangerous in the postseason, which is all we care about. All we care about. Unless, of course, you lose. Then you care about that. When you win it, no one cares about it. When you lose it, it's obviously a huge deal. You have to stick with Devin Williams. You have to get him right. He is not just a mop-up, slop-duty guy. He's got to be figured out. Because if he does become figured out, and of course, is there a line of demarcation on all of this? Yeah, It ain't May 6th. You got to get Devin Williams right because that's what makes the team most dangerous to go win a World Series. Plain and simple. And if we're going to act as Yankee fans like that's all that matters, who cares they won 99 games, Chris? Who cares they won the division again, Chris? Who gives a damn they're the best team? Who cares they have six guys in the All-Star team in 22? Who cares about any of that? You're hung up on being just good in the regular season. You're hung, Aaron Boone has the most best winning percentage this side of the Dodgers as far as managers in the history of the game. Who cares about that, Chris? Who cares? He's never won a damn thing in the playoffs. If all we care about is playoffs, then you can't tell me you want to banish Devin Williams on May 5th. You can't have it both ways. It's either all we care about is the postseason, or we want to win every single stinking game, all 162 of them. Because you can't argue the team will be better with Devin Williams pitching like Devin Williams at the back end of the bullpen. You want to win a World Series? You want to win a World Series? Williams and Weaver at the back end of it give them the best chance to win the damn World Series. But no, he blew a four-run lead against the Tampa Bay Rays at the beginning of April. I can't take it. Oh no, he lost a three-run game in May. We have to banish him forever. Okay, banish him. Banish him. See how that works for you. We said the same thing last year about Clay Holmes. Clay Holmes sucks. Clay Holmes is the worst. I want nothing to do with Clay Holmes. Get him the hell out of here. When he was removed from his closer role, move him away. I don't care. He came in and blew two different games after he was removed from the closer's role. He blew two different games pitching in significant moments later that year after being removed from the closer role. And I took calls on it. We screamed about it. He sucks. Get him out of here. I want nothing to do with Clay Holmes. I don't even want him on the postseason roster. And then he gives you nine straight scoreless innings in the American League playoffs and is as important a reliever as they had getting back to the World Series. That's what they're trying to do. They're two games up in a lousy division, a weak American League with six teams that make the playoffs. And if you think their eye should be more focused on winning a game against Tampa as opposed to figuring out their bullpen and roster to get one of the best relievers in the game that they traded for right so that they can be dominant at that position in the postseason, I disagree with you.
You mentioned earlier, BT.
Yeah.
That the game that we had scheduled for a while now, this is dating back to December. That yes. Mitchell and Fort Lee said, you guys are in May 16th.
Did he bring that up the night that we went to Saturday Night's Main Event? Was that the night that he actually brought it up to us?
Yeah, in December. Hoff and I were driving with him. He drove us to the event.
I know.
On the island. We met you there.
Yes.
And that was the night that we brought it up. I talked to one of his friends who has the season tickets with him. He's like, we'd love to have you guys. Okay. So we went and rearranged it. He got more tickets so we could get Hoff involved. So this has been a long time in the making.
It has been.
And you said, in case anybody missed it, in case you missed anything, check out on the Free Odyssey app, you had said because the Knicks play a Game 6 or are scheduled to play a possible Game 6 against Boston, that if a Game 6 does take place, you no longer want to go anymore to the Yankees and Mets opening game there, that Subway Series game that Friday night, the return of Juan Soto. Mm-hmm. Now, with that, I've already had people hit me up saying that they would take your spot.
I'm going to need some names before. I'll play the game here, but I'm going to need some names. Just try to jump in my spot
here. The first one was Hector in Washington Heights.
I like Hector. Okay, who else? And then are there station people or no?
No.
Okay, that doesn't bother
me. I think actually C-Mac might be going already.
Okay.
So there's a good group of people going already.
Mm-hmm.
Then Mitchell himself said, hey, I heard BT doesn't want to go, and you may not be.
Well, that's not a fair characterization. BT doesn't want to go.
And then he goes, you may not want to go really either. Let me know. I'll sell the tickets. So Mitch, because he could make.
Maybe Mitch lost a couple bets. He's trying to get some money back. It doesn't seem like he wants to go anymore. He's trying to sell everybody's tickets.
He could make good bank on that.
Yeah, he could.
But you could. I think the challenge should be to you, test your belief in this Knicks team. If you truly believe there is going to be a Game 6.
Okay.
And then maybe you wait for after tonight. Maybe at some point this week you make that decision. When is game three? Saturday?
Saturday, 3:30.
Right. But when do you think would be a fair time to make a decision? Being that the game is, it feels like it's still so long away. It's next week.
Okay. It is crazy that it's
right?
Next
Mets, Yanks, Soto next week? Oh, man.
I'm actually going to the stadium a couple days after that with our town. We do a whole big thing. Oh. So I'm going to be at the stadium either way. I think that Tuesday, whatever.
I got to start getting out of some of these games. I haven't been yet. I know.
All right. Though the weather's been awful. I'll give you the answer today. I don't need to wait. I'll give you the answer today. So I met Mitchell once.
Yeah.
I've spoken to him on the phone with the show a few times.
Yeah.
We were trying to get together on something else. I think it was, with the SUVs. Remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah,
for Cole's birthday?
Yeah.
So we were texting and stuff.
I think I've seen a whole game or something like that.
Yep. Rather than one big party bus, I thought maybe I'll get a couple of big, but whatever. So I spoke to him then, but I met him once. So I've met Mitchell once. I've worked with you for almost 2 years now.
Yeah.
I have worked with Hoff, going back to the relationship
four
with Tiki, for about 4 years here. I have been a Knick fan since Bernard King. Have fun. Give the tickets away. I ain't coming.
You're out.
I'm out. Knicks.
Now,
easiest decision I ever made.
I'm out. Just let the record show.
I will not come back in.
Knicks
lose in five or win in five, I will not say, oh, wait, I wasn't thinking clearly. No, I really want to come. I understand what I'm doing right now.
Did the Knicks give you an out to an event that maybe you didn't really want to go to anyway?
Why would you say that?
Well, because it's a hassle going in the games.
No, an event that I don't really want to go to is something that my wife drags me to. Not to go and have, you know.
Well, I was asking the question.
Surfsides with you, Hammerheads, to watch the Yankees or the Mets.
I was just making sure, because even, I admit, oh, God, I don't really want to go. You know what I'm saying? There's a part of me.
Well, you wouldn't feel welcome in the Bronx?
No, not that. Although maybe that's a part of it. I just don't want to deal with that. But, going to a game on Friday, there's a lot that.
I've thought about that as well, but not to the point where it would dissuade me not to go. I know it's going to be nuts, man. I mean, are you going to wear a Mets jersey, by the way? You have to.
No.
You're not.
1,000% not. I will not wear a Mets.
Why?
I just don't want.
Hoff, are you going to wear a Mets jersey?
I'm not looking to rock a Mets jersey.
He will. He's got the balls to do it.
I mean, I would, but I'm.
You're not either?
I've done it before. I've done it before many times. I don't think it's the smart thing to do.
I know.
More attention.
Now, we'd be fine there, but maybe walking out, going to the cars, still a little late.
No need to do it.
Okay, so.
Unless Soto sends me something himself. You know what I'm saying? Maybe then I wear a Soto jersey. I don't have a new Soto jersey. That would be the one that I would wear.
How about we start with getting Mendy on the show before Soto actually sends you a jersey?
I know it's not going to happen. I'm just saying.
All right, so, I get it. This is a risk. This is a calculation on my part.
Yeah.
We're getting a game six. There's no doubt in my mind. So, now I'm not so sure I felt that before they won the other night. It's going to be a game six, which means I will be, and it's a night game. And it's a Friday night, which means I will be in my backyard with my son and hopefully my Jen and my daughter as well, probably after baseball practice. And I'll have a fire pit, and I will be watching the Knicks on my glorious outdoor TV, looking at my arborvitaes every time Jalen Brunson sticks a three in Tatum's face.
All right, so you are officially
out. I know what I'm leaving on the table, dude, and I know I could get burned, but I'm a Knick guy.
You don't feel any loyalty to or the commitment to Mitch and went out of his way?
I do. I do. That's why I said if he needs me to pay him, I will.
You know, Mitch, he helped me move some couches not too long ago. He brought the Christmas.
Yeah. No, he didn't. You didn't tell me about this. I know about the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
What happened with the couches?
I needed help moving the couches. We got a new furniture set or whatever. It was a few weeks ago. And I was like,
this was after the Christmas tree?
Yeah. And it's like, okay.
Well, you can't abandon him. I mean, he's basically your servant. I'm just kidding, Mitch. He's a great guy. I know he's so well-intentioned, and I really do like him. And I met him. He's a sweetheart. This is the Knicks, dude.
And now maybe we trade a Yankee fan, as you have pulled out of this event, May 16th, for a Met fan.
And I don't know if that's allowed. I'm going to have to get with Mitch here, and the other stipulation might be that I will give up that ticket no matter what. Even if there's not a game six, but it cannot go to a Mets fan. That's going to be a stipulation.
I don't know if you have any say in the matter now. You have now pulled out.
I think that, you know, Mitchell might appreciate a text from me.
Yes, I'm sure he would.
I think he would be.
Maybe a call on the way
pretty
home.
Good about, feel pretty good about that. Tickle his fancy a little bit. Let him remind
him.
Remember what's going on here.
Say thanks, but.
I didn't even think about it. That does matter. To me. Because I'm so loud, and Hoff is loud, and you're loud, but and I, Like, if there's, I can't let three Met fans.
I'm not going to be loud and rowdy at the game.
I would be.
I don't get that in me. I mean,
I wouldn't be cursing at Soto, but you don't, dude. Can you imagine walking to our
seats? I might be cursing at Soto. I mean, you might.
Like, I think you're under this illusion that, like, we're going to be living in this cloak of anonymity. Like, if we go, I guess you're still going. We would be besieged, whether it's people who love you and hate you or love me.
Yeah.
And this Soto-Met-Yankee dynamic, you think we're just going to slip in, especially, watch the game, and go home?
Especially in right field right there.
Don't forget about it.
Yeah.
Go to the bathroom, go get a beer, go get food. It's just, we're going to be crazy.
Oh, you're going to be home watching the Knicks.
Game six. Win.
Subway Series, return of
I've seen
Soto.
A million Subway Series.
I've seen plenty of Game 6, unfortunately, for the Knicks.
I've also seen
20 years ago.
Hey, by the way, I've also seen a lot of opposing right fielders hitting 246.
Nothing
I haven't seen, buddy.
There you go. All right. BT, I'm hoping to catch a home run ball from Soto, although he doesn't hit those wall scrapers. When he actually hits them.
Usually Oppo. Yeah. Now, I will be totally honest here. It hurts that I have to do this. I hate that I have to do this.
All kidding aside, from a sports fan perspective, it does suck that we have two.
You're not going to watch the Knicks game. You can tell me. I know you're going to try.
No, if I
you're not going to enjoy it.
If I go to the game, I'm not going to be able to watch the Knicks game the way that I would want to watch
it. I cannot function like that. Not with a Knicks playoff game. No way.
With football Sundays, like, that's why postseason baseball or September baseball, you know, I used to go to the end of, like, I remember the Mets game where they closed out Shea Stadium in 2008. Like, if it happens to fall on a Sunday, it sucks because you're missing a football Sunday, which is so special.
Yep.
But
it used to be special.
But playoff exactly right. But playoff baseball, to me, playoff baseball, not regular season, playoff baseball trumps that. Yes, a playoff baseball game, a playoff basketball game should trump any regular season game. This is the ultimate one that puts it to the test. Soto's return.
Dude, they're either up, if this happens, they're either up 3-2 or they're losing 3-2. They're either going to move to the conference championship or their season's over.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not game one.
I get it. I got to honor my commitment.
You don't have to. I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to.
Exactly.
Real quick, I want to point this out for those that missed it. Last night during the Yankee game, which home run was it, Sean? I forget who hit the home run.
Last night,
home run in the Yankee game.
It was Judge's home run.
Oh, it was Judge's, right. Judge's hit a home run right field, barely got out. A little Yankee Stadium home run, fine. He barely has those. And a guy catches the ball.
Oh, this was fantastic.
And so the guy is so pumped up he caught the ball, he loses the baseball while celebrating. And the guy next to him, and a great job by John Boy and a bad job by Yes Network, because John Boy had it first. He was the one analyzing it. And then the Yes Network comes back to innings later and says, hey, look what we found.
Right.
John Boy had it first. I don't know how many people would have noticed it. But the ball kind of comes loose after he catches it and he's celebrating. And some other guy looks down at the ball, kind of.
Right. It's like rolling on the ledge.
Right.
It didn't even go on the ground. It's rolling on the ledge.
Very slow roller, like Bill Buckner. And the guy looks down like, huh, should I do it? I'm not going to make this obvious. I'm just going to very quickly grab the baseball. Now, apparently, he ended up giving the ball back. But I got to tell you, man. I think that guy had every right to the baseball.
So, because what he did was he grabbed it and pocketed it. So it was, and they were still celebrating. And all of a sudden, and then he starts clapping. After he puck it in his pocket, he starts clapping again, like, yeah, awesome, you caught the ball. And the kid's like, where's the ball?
He never gives it back if John Boy doesn't tweet that video out.
Oh, you think he felt like no I doubt have about to because the evidence is right there?
Within no a half an hour of John Boy tweeting out that video, it was everywhere, retweeted, quote tweeted, likes.
No, you're right.
How could you comfortably sit for 5 mornings? You think that kid is not going to get that video sent to him and turn around three people down and go, yo, you have my ball?
Do you think he had the right to the ball?
Absolutely. It's not a home run ball. I've done this before.
What do you mean?
The only foul ball, haven't I told the story on the show? The only foul ball I've ever caught in my life was off the bat of Derek Jeter, and it drilled a woman in the head. I was like 16 years old.
No.
It ricochets off her head. She's bleeding everywhere, and I catch it. I can't believe it. I go to stick my arm in the air. My uncle Ray at the time rips my arm down, makes me stuff it in my sweatshirt pocket. He goes, you hold on to the ball, you keep your mouth shut if you want to keep the ball. I keep my mouth shut. I put it in there. Lady gets taken out by a medic. People are screaming, where's the ball? Give her the ball. I never get back to the ball. The ball's still sitting in my mantle. So I say that to say, like, yeah. I wasn't under any social media pressure to give it back. It's my right to the ball. You wanted it. You could have paid attention to caught it. What is it my fault that you fractured your face?
No, your situation is far worse.
That'd be awesome if she called up and be like, hey, that was me. Can I get the ball?
She can remember the game. Barry Zito was pitching. A's. Friday night game.
You would give it to her.
I know, but...
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? It's the only foul ball I caught in my life.
Who cares?
15. I care. I'm never catching another one again.
I'll get CC to get you an Aaron Judge signed ball.
Oh, well, we can work.
That's not the same thing.
If she calls up and like asks for it, you have to give it to her.
We got to get proof. I need the ticket stub.
Okay.
I think if you ever got caught the way this guy did, it's far worse. Like what happened in this case was a guy was being overzealous. He celebrated. Did he ever really have complete control of the ball? Not really. Ball's loose.
Well,
someone else
did.
Got it.
He did. It's just when his friend started celebrating.
I don't know,
it.
Man. Did he complete the catch?
I don't know.
He did. No, he did. He couldn't catch and then it fell out. But his mitt was also a trash mitt.
Yeah, well, that's the issue.
If you're going to bring a glove and be glove guy at Yankee Stadium, it's got to be a good glove.
Right, yeah.
He's got a plastic mitt.
I think that you would have faced more scrutiny than that guy. Because in your case, a woman got bloodied.
Right.
A woman got pummeled by a baseball, and you're being such a selfish pig, you're keeping the baseball. Dude, in this case, it's more... the ball's loose. It could go both ways. We could argue it. In your case, dude, you have to get... No, if you got caught, you would have given the ball back. You didn't get caught. She got away with it.
I think my uncle knew that, but nonetheless, no. Finders keepers, losers weepers. That's what I live by.
I'll give you some advice.
Yeah?
Give you some advice. Because back in the old days at Shea Stadium, our seats used to be foul ball territory. Like, line drives would be pummeling us.
Well, I'll tell you, you're in foul ball territory now.
We are, but we get far less because of the screen and the way it extends.
And it's right behind. Like, it's got to be a perfect foul ball back for you to get it.
But I'm telling you, at Shea Stadium, it was very similar. The difference was, since the screen didn't extend as high, we get, like, laser beam line drives right back. So my dad always used to say, you know what you should do? Bring a baseball. And every once in a while, you fool people if you got the baseball. Or, as the ball is knocked around, you can get the real baseball and flip that ball away so everyone continues to fight over it. You can get very creative with your baseball usage.